The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. His word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is good. Let's take our seats and study, then we'll rise again to continue to pray. There's something that I've been trying to get through. The seven dedications, can I remember? I think we're still on number, is it two or three? All right, but we'll just keep on going over them until we have finished receiving everything that the Holy Spirit has for us in that regard. Let me say to us again. Prayer has a purpose. And in summary, the purpose of prayer is to establish the will of God. What did I say is the purpose of prayer?
To establish the will of God.
That's what it is. To establish the will of God. There's a will of God, first of all, in our lives. First of all, when I say in our lives now, in our spirit and in our soul. That's the first place that we establish God's will. Then we establish it outwardly. What I mean by that is this. For example, now, the elder John was praying. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. That's the second side. Even as your soul prospers. When he was writing, this was in 3 John. In 2 John, he said, I rejoice that I hear of both you or my children that they are walking in what? The truth. That's the first side. As your soul prospers, that's the first side. But that you prosper and be in health. And he was talking outwardly at that time. That things go well with you. That your body is totally made whole. That's the second area where the will of God applies. And the third area where the will of God applies is around you. Not your life now, not your own personal blessing, but wherever you have influence. The will of God must apply. For example, you are the head of a home. Even if you're not the head, you are in a home. You can be a young person and you have a father, you have a mother, but you are 18, 19. You're not too young to hear the word of God and to obey it and to learn to pray. At least we have personal testimonies. Started hearing God's word in secondary school. Kenneth Hagin became a pastor at the age of 17. I quote him because we read a lot of his materials. Do you understand? Huh? So you may be in a home. God says, okay, it's your responsibility now. In every environment, God wants his person. Do you get my point? So he plans. Can I use the expression like his own agent? You know, secret service people, they do stuff like that. Put agents here and there. God also does something similar. So inside each family, he wants to plant his own agent. So in that household, you may be young, but your duty now to take on the responsibility, let me put it like this. You have a duty to perform. You must accept the responsibility. I know it will sound like pride, but being the closest to God in the house. Okay, let's not use the word closest to God. As if you are raising your shoulder. As if you did buga for somebody. No, that's not what we're saying. The point is that at least now you go to church, you hear teachings. There's no pride in when you know your father does not. There's no pride in saying that you do when you know your mother doesn't. Hey, they go to church, half the sermon is 45 minutes. The reverend is reading it as your father is asleep. You know. So you're not bragging when you say that you hear more word than he does. But that is not a bragging thing like we're saying. It's a responsibility matter. Even though you are young, it's now your responsibility to inject as much as possible of God into the house. Remember what I'm saying? The primary reason God gave us prayer is what?
To establish
God's will. We're just describing three different areas where that will comes into play. First of all, he said, take heed to yourselves. Paul's writing, he was talking to the elders in Ephesus before he left. That's where he starts from. Take heed to yourselves. So, first, when Paul wrote to Timothy, the husbandman that labors must be first partaker of the fruit. He was talking about that spiritual aspect of it. You will pray the word into your life that it must bear fruit. Then, as part of you, the word bears outward fruit also. What I'm going to say is that God has a will concerning outward things in your life. That's why I gave the example of John saying, I wish above all things that you prosper. You use the word of God to bring prosperity into your life. We're talking, you know, I think it was yesterday, and Pastor Kimuti was saying some things. I said, Apostle, you know, they find that in outside, they find it in the corner. Are you getting my point? You just drop something for it. This one is that, it's something similar to this anyway. Assuming you need a bigger house to stay in. Start walking around Enugu. You won't find. And when you find, you won't have money. Do you get my point? Where do you look for it? Inside your closet. The Lord will give you a revelation. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Say, God, I only ask for a 4-bedroom flat. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You have to receive it there first. If you like, waka the whole of Enugu. If I was not giving him a testimony, testimonies of how God has taken care of my wife and I in this city, I said almost every house I have moved into, I gave him the testimonies of how they came to me. The ones I went around town looking for, I didn't find. The first time one guy just came and said, Oga, I have found your house. I said, what do you mean? He said, this house is for you. Yes, and I lived there for a few years. The house I lived in for the longest, I was just GC with somebody in church. And he just said, something, he asked after my brother, I said something that the guy has to move because, anyway, housing matter came up. And I said, oh, my neighbor is moving. And the house is good. Anyway, I lived in that house for 8 years. Where I'm going is that, so you use the word of God to bring prosperity and what? Health. I wish above all things that you do what? Prosper and be in health. Please, I know I've said this before. I'm going over it again, but I know where we stopped, about our environment. When it comes to health matter, God has a will concerning it. He does. You will use his word to bring that will. See, Christianity is not about our desire. It's about establishing the will of God in every aspect. It's about establishing the will of God in every aspect. Let your will be done. It's not, that statement is not a statement of resignation to whatever will be. It's a statement of affirmation. It's a statement of command. It's a statement of enforcement concerning that which God spoke about his children. You want it enforced in your life. And anytime you find something in scripture like that, God says, speak that it should be enforced in your life. That's what we call prayer. Once you find a testimony, so, like I was giving an example, that you prosper and be in health. Psalm 23 is one of those things. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So prayer is, take those words and take them to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you. You know, Lord, I was reading my Bible this morning. I was in church, pastor was preaching. I was listening to a particular message. And I got to this point, and I heard that you are my shepherd. That is, you provide everything, so I will not lack. I realized I was allowing this lack thing to persist. Therefore, can we solve it now? Let your will be done in my life. Your will be done doesn't mean, I don't know, if you say we should go hungry, we go hungry. There's a different kind of consecration in that dimension. That's different. That's not what we're talking about now. What we're talking about, he said, this hunger is fundamentally not our portion. There are things that the Bible makes clear are rights. They can be given up. Do you get my point? For example, Paul said that these things have been sanctified, or they can't be sanctified with the word of God and prayer. But if your brother is offended by it, you give up the right to eat certain meats. You get what I'm saying? Paul said, Peter, you know, some people say that pastors should go and walk. You've heard that thing before? If you've ever said that or you say once in a while, I want to pray for you, may the Lord have mercy on your foolishness. May he not deal with you according to the multitude of that stupidity. It is not a natural. Preaching is work. It is work. You want to do it well? Brethren, akoye aiki a chicken preaching. Elder John said, I'm speaking in tongues. There is work inside preaching. Unless you don't want to do it well. If you are those who will go to one website, download the sermon, and read it out to us, fine. There's work inside. There's work inside. Let me not sit on that. If you're a preacher, you have to be preaching all the time, even in your mind. Yeah. It is not only when they give you a microphone, you start preaching. You will preach the sermon first to yourself. Even though you're not planning to preach it any time. See, what you do regularly, you become good at. You make sacrifices. Anyway, let me not sit there. So Paul told us that Peter didn't know this one that go and make tent. Ever since Peter stopped fishing, he stopped fishing. The only day he tried to go and catch fish again, Jesus said, do you love me more than this? What are you doing here? He left fishing and didn't come back. It doesn't mean there were no times. Most of the times he got tempted to go and fish. And when he gets there, Jesus said, do you love me more than the boat? Then he leaves the boat and goes back again. Peter had a wife, even though she was never talked about. Yes, James had a wife. I believe even John. So why do you say so? Paul made it clear that he was the odd man out. So are we the only ones that do not have the right to have a sister accompany us as a wife? What does that tell you? Every other guy had. They were not talking about it for whatever reason they had. Some of those women did not agree to follow them to travel. Maybe, I don't know. Whatever it is, they didn't talk about it much. But God, Paul gave us insight into the fact that they did. So Paul will get to a place. He will look for money from labor to make tent and all of that. And he said, now what I'm talking about is that, he said, these were rights I willingly gave up. That's where I'm going. So sometimes we give up our rights. But when it comes to that time, we will know that's what we are doing. Now, so that's a different kind of prayer. When you say that, we'll go hungry for the Lord, that's giving up what? Rights. But fundamentally, you will take the scripture of Psalm 23 and say, the Lord is my shepherd. There must be food every time that is necessary to eat. I saw a testimony when I was preaching. Beautiful testimony. Beautiful testimony. Beautiful. He said he asked his grandmother. Grandmother and grandfather, they were preachers. And they were not like church-based preachers. They used to preach on the streets. They used to go to places. No, just preach around. This man, I saw the video a few days ago. And he asked the mother, the grandmother, what's the greatest miracle, most remarkable miracle God did for you guys? The grandmother said one day, she was in her house. And she saw she needed eggs. She didn't have eggs. They were low on food. And she saw descending from the hill, in their area, in the rural area where they lived. What do you call, is it a flock of birds? That's chicken. Hens. Hens walked into her compound, walked into her shed. All of them laid eggs. And then they left. And walked back up to where they came from. So she went in there, found 20-something eggs, packed them in a basket, trying to be a good, innocent person. That shall not covet your neighbor's goods. So she traced the fowls back to where she thought they came from. Went there and said, please, your hens came to my place and laid eggs. Now, let me not mix the story up too much. Basically, the woman there said they could not have been mine. She gave reasons. So please, I don't have any issue with your eggs. So she took her eggs and went away. I said, those hens always came back anytime she was low on eggs. Okay, yes. He said the chicken she had never laid egg for her. That's the person she took the chicken to. She said, it can't be her own. That she knows this chicken, they're not a green lay egg. You know, last week we began to talk about it. See, I'm just begging you, don't refuse to give me your testimony, because you will have.
Amen.
And I want to hear them.
Amen.
You will have in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Food will show up on your in your pot.
Amen.
And you'll be wondering how did they get there. Eat it. I'm telling you ahead of time. You know, don't let this African thing scare you. See, I don't know who time. You know, when you say, I don't know who did now, your fear is maybe now witch. Many people have been denied their miracle because of witch. They believe too much in witches. One man, this was in South Africa, I read his own story directly from his own hands. I mean, he wrote it for Full Gospel Voice. He had gotten involved in the occult. Then he gave his life, he became a Christian one way along the line. And then he came home one day. Let's make a long story short. So one of the ways they used to run people mental, they will come and put a cock and they put eggs at your doorstep. You will go mad. Let me make a long story short. They didn't know he had been cooked on the word of God. So one morning, he wake up in the morning. I just come back home to his base. No food. No food. He opened the door in the morning. What did he find? Cock. And eggs. He raised his hands to the Lord. And gave thanks. Took the live cock inside. Put the egg somewhere. And the cock laid down his life for the brethren. You know, that's how it's the will of God. That was how God supplied his needs that morning. And he was praying that, hey, any other enemy, I don't come back home. I've done morning madness. What if I have to know madness? Don't you have plans to make me mad in the evening? He ate. I told you when I was in school, this really happened. I didn't see that, but I saw one brother. And the day it happened, I was there, but I wasn't in the place where it happened. But the brother it happened to was one of our brothers in fellowship. He entered the room. He saw food. You know, I've told you, apart from refugees, the hungriest set of human beings on earth are students. They're always hungry. It's like there's a course, hunger 102, that they take. This guy entered and saw food on the ground, like in pots and all of that, in coolers. Nobody was eating it. I asked him, what's going on? He told me one story that there's one lady that comes to town to look for one of their friends. So they have a feeling that the girl don't cook better thing inside. Are you going to say? This way, if you chop, they call it, those of you call it forget me not. That was the name of that juju. The thing is inside. So the guy said, is that all? They said, yes. He said, no worry, I'll go marry him. There's no, don't worry about it. Is he not there? The guy gathered the food. He raised his hand, Father, I want to say thank you for this food. In the name of Jesus Christ, the guy began to eat. All the guys are watching him. Ah, you finished rice, finished chicken. Banana was there. Good banana. The guy was, this guy was not falling in love with anybody. He was just eating. That was when the other people joined. And they said, that is what, you see, you shall know the truth. That's it. He was free. It was my roommate he came to tell. That one said, He called his name and said, oh boy, next time you are not supposed to start. Supposed to close the food, then come and look for me. Then we will go there. Well, then we will finish all these unbelieving people. Why are they enjoying the result of our faith? If you see rice in your kitchen, that's what I'm talking about. Don't suspect the witch. Suspect the angel.
Yeah.
Why can angels, witches be doing what the angels are not doing? If a witch does, you should be angry with the angels. They send you in a message in a sandwich. The angel will say, don't worry, it was quicker. Because we saw a witch in there, you say, go and feed that man. Now I'm poisoning him spiritually. We know you, you will eat. You shouldn't be suspecting witches. Somebody gives you money, say you don't know what he had in mind. An angel gave you money. You don't know what he had in mind. You are inside public transport, you are low on cash. Somebody says, should I pay your fare? Say amen. Amen. Pay. And the Lord will bless you. In fact, that can be your point for evangelism. Thank you, sir. Before you go, may I pray for you? Father, in the name of Jesus. What are you saying? Say, no. If they give you money now, your destiny will vanish. Can your destiny vanish? Something that is hidden with Christ in God. Come on, don't let... Many times God will say, look, I want to bless somebody. Say, but he will think I'm a witch. Tell you one, somebody came, give me... You know, people travel abroad, they come back with gifts. This is my senior boss. Came home, I went to visit. So I heard you are back. He said, yes. So he opened his bag and was sharing out things. So he gave me a t-shirt. I said, thank you, sir. An undergarment, actually. Of course, it was not my size. Maybe he thought I was bigger than I really was then. So I told my wife, what do I do with it? I said, there's only one person I know it will fit. It will be the person's perfect fit. But I won't dare give him. Because if his back itches tomorrow, he will remember the t-shirt I gave him. I said, I don't want trouble for my soul. And he will take it and be wondering, why did he give me a shirt? He will now go and hang my shirt somewhere and be spraying it with holy water. You know, that's why I didn't give him. I could have dashed it to him. I didn't have any use for it. It was too big. I can't remember what I finally did with it. Maybe I now turned it to like a sleeping shirt. Good quality cotton, you know, body. You're supposed to hug your body. You wear it under your shirt. I didn't know what to do with it. It was not my size, but the only person who was around that could wear it. I know you'd be looking at me with suspicion. You know, when you were young, your mother warned you. If they bring the food during Christmas, don't eat it. When we were young, we ate Christmas exchange food. I don't know. You know, this generation, people are growing differently. When we're young, festival period is food exchange. We're just carrying things up and down. People bring food, rice. You will eat it. How come there are more witches now than those days? Meanwhile, those days, there was more darkness. This witchcraft belief thing is not good. Let me just say, if you're a child of God, if you fear witches, God would personally injure you. Let me tell you what happened to you. This is not threat. I was called to warn people. My name is Jeremiah today. There are days I'm Amos. Today is my Jeremiah garment I'm wearing. You know what God told, I think, Jeremiah, Ezekiel? He said, if you're afraid, both of them, I'm sending to these people, Jeremiah 1. He said, if you're afraid of them, I will disgrace you before them. So this is what will happen to you. If you're afraid of witch's food, the food of a witch, your own food that you cooked with your own time and pot is the one that will give you diarrhea for 1 week. Because you will not be cured until you eat the one the witch sent. I have to cure your fear. Do you know how God should stop that? Told a man, he invited prayer band people, prayer band. My friend came to tell me. He said, Pastor, come and see what happened in my church. He said, one of our brothers invited people to his house who had helped him when his wife passed on. Let them come and have, like, get together. And he had money. He said, well-to-do person. And they talked to them, said, hey, they can't go. Why can't they go? That the witch that killed his wife may still be in the house. You know what embarrassed my friend? That's the church prayer group. You know, some churches have prayer band. This was a prayer group in that church. This was a prayer band in the church. People of God, please, let's stop it. What did I say?
Let's stop it.
A friend of mine, his father died when he was young. So one day he came home, wanted to go and visit his uncles and his aunties. Anyway, the uncle and aunties, yeah. When he was going there, the mother called and said, come. Say what? Say, please don't eat anything when you get there. The boy said, why? Young man. That was his teenager. Like late teens, early 20s. He said, why? He said, we think they are the ones that killed your father. Told the mother he had heard. But if they could kill his father, they can't kill me. He went there, sat down, and did the very thing he was told not to do. Hey, how are you? I'm fine, auntie. Where did you come from school? Just 2 days ago. We like to eat. Why not? They brought him food, he ate. Brought drink, he drank. He thanked God and left. How can you be an adult? They are still telling you don't take food from strangers at your age. There are things to tell children. We understand that they shouldn't just be gobbling it in their hand. But their age, look, my friend, take food from strangers. If you are hungry. I'm telling you, why won't you take food from strangers? See, you know people that smoke. I served in northern Nigeria. Those guys are not afraid of witches. Those are smoke cigarettes. I said in northern Nigeria, those days, this was long ago. We'll go to places. I still remember, you know, you're on the boat. We had to cross. There are places we went to. We had to use ferries to cross and all of that. You know, boats. I still remember guys would just sit down. One guy would just sit down on the boat, then light a cigarette. The other guy next door would look at him. We'll watch that guy smoke. When the guy has finished like half of the cigarette, he'll tell him, Dala Kashaka Bani Taba. That guy will nod. We drag some more, hand him cigarette. And the guy will collect. And this was a regular thing. You don't hang around smokers, so you don't know. They're not afraid. They will just be exchanging cigar in front of you like this. Then they want to chef better food. They say, no, don't worry. 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 Whatever you put inside, don't worry. Nothing will happen to me. None of these things shall hurt me. And please, let me say this. Let me warn Christians again. Stop believing nonsense. If somebody says, they touched me, my thing disappears. Don't lie, you didn't have. Tell the man, don't lie. Why do you want to blame somebody now? Are you lying? Look, for those of you who don't know, number one reason that thing vanishes is cold and fear. Jonah, is it not true? No, Elder John, I lie. Unduka, why are you doing like you don't know? They'll be lying if they say they'll not beat an innocent person. Okay, things disappear. How come somebody's arm has never disappeared? It's only the ones we can't confirm that it's disappearing. Stop lying. Nonsense. And look, I've told you before, my own attitude has been established in Christ. If anybody comes to me and wants to disappear something, I have a covenant with God. His brain will go. Let me shake my hand like this. I tell you, God bless you. Tomorrow, try and think. You can't think again. They'll say you have dementia. No, I vanished your brain. No, that's why I'm not afraid. If you like, bump me. You don't have to see. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the coven and all of that. So if not disappearing act with day, I've told the Lord, please vanish their brain. What am I doing with your thing? It's your brain. You shake my hand. As long as God lives, you must have dementia. You say, yesterday he was okay. He started forgetting. 1 week later, you are 35. A 99-year-old man will have better memory than you. Why? You went and shook my hand with bad intent. Now, let me tell you something you may not know. If I withdraw my hand, because of fear of you, God will remove something from my body. I don't know which one. No, I'm telling you, I fear God though. See, if you shake that man, I will have to stretch my hand. God bless you, sir. It is well with you. And if it's true you are banishing things from people, I just remove your brain. Christians, please, let's be Christians. We cannot be the ones pushing superstitions and fear of witchcraft up and down. What kind of nonsense is this? If stranger brings banana inside vehicle, collect your portion. If you don't want to eat, it's different. He said, if you eat now, you will now fall asleep. And then you now appear inside. See, let me just pray a prayer for you. Yeah, no, seriously. See, some people say, okay, Pastor, we're not talking about witchcraft now. We're talking about physical substances that can make you sleep off. Now, this is a prayer I want to pray for you. And it will happen to you, somebody listening to me in Jesus' name. Listen to this. If anybody puts anything in the food to make you sleep, in Jesus' name, he or she will go to sleep and not wake up for 3 days.
Amen.
That's a prayer. I don't care, even if it's a physical chemical, take that as a prophetic word. If you are somewhere, they drop something in your drink and you did not know, you carry your drink and you drank it. Thus says the Lord, their arrow shall enter into their hearts.
Amen.
The guys will not know. That drug will fall into their own system. The man that put it, he will drop there in 5 minutes and sleep. 2 days, doctors will be trying to wake him up. They will not know. He went down under the power of an angel. The angel will put a foot down. You're not getting up. They will pump him full of all kinds of things. On the third day, the angel will remove his foot. And if he did that kind of thing, truly, I say by the Spirit of God, half of his memory will never come back.
Amen.
One of our doctors was kidnapped by this, what do you call those guys? Not the local kidnappers. These boys, I don't want to, like headsmen, those kind of, what do you call, military? What do you call them now? Bandit headsmen. Yes, that's what I was looking for. Bandit headsmen. Inside the hospital there. Was on duty. Just went out to get something. Around them, is it 6:30 or so? In the evening.
We were just driving. Next thing, just saw two guys in front. Raised guns up. So, of course, what did he do? Instinctively, put his car in reverse and started moving back. Only to find that there were four. Two were behind him. Or each one armed with an AK-47. So he hit his brake, jumped out of the vehicle, and started running. Of course, in the bush, that's where they live. So they outran him and caught him. So people saw his car abandoned. Yeah, inside the hospital there, on the road. If you know the... Saw the car abandoned. I don't know whether anybody witnessed. Of course, people knew what happened. The guy, he had been taken. And his friends and brethren began to pray. And they were praying. They took him somewhere deep inside into the bush, you know. Deep inside. And they had a tent. So they put him inside and surrounded him. He was watching them. He could not sleep. Night came. They decided to take whatever it is. I don't know what they took. But let me make a long story short. During the night, he noticed that they were sleeping. So he decided that they were sleeping. He didn't know that an angel blew on all of them. People will say that maybe they smoke something. His own is that. You are sleeping? Thank you very much. He tore a hole, found, because this it was a wire mesh kind of net. They prepared for people like him. He found a way to dig through one end. None of them woke up. Four of them. Squeezed himself out and started walking in the dark from 2 a.m. He walked for like 2 or 3 hours. You know the hilly area. Go up the hill, down the valley. The guy didn't stop. Make a long story. By the time they woke up, their victim was gone. He ran into one of these forest guards. Somewhere, you know, just found the, after a while, when light was coming, he saw a path. Followed the path, ran into a forest guard who took him to the nearest village, just asked for a phone. You know, husband's there. person he called was his wife. I'm fine. I just want to know I am fine. But by that time, of course, prayer had gone here and there. You know, I love WhatsApp for that. People don't send prayer points up and down. What am I telling the story? All of them went to sleep. We don't know when they woke up. By the time they woke up, he was long gone. By the time they woke up, he was long gone. See, I'm not here to make common sense. I'm here to give you the word of the Lord. I'm saying that he has given his angels charge concerning you. Amen. They will keep you in all your ways. Amen. If anybody tries to spice your drink, he will drink it.
Amen.
Oh my God, he will drink it.
Amen.
Please, nobody should ask me, how will it happen? Just say amen. That's all you need to say.
Amen.
If anybody tries to spice your drink, he will drink it.
Amen.
God will keep you from all evil.
Amen.
They will set a trap for you, they will fall into it.
Amen.
They will draw their bow to shoot into the heart of the righteous. The Bible says that their arrow will enter their own hearts. So if they poison your food, they will eat it.
Amen.
You, nothing will happen to you.
Amen.
I say to you in the name of Jesus Christ, nothing will happen to you.
Amen.
Thus says the Lord, no evil shall befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You need to walk with confidence. You can't walk with fear. That's the point I'm making. You can't walk with fear. Please, if they give you a live animal, eat it. I mean, slaughter it, dress it, and eat. That one is even the easiest one. Don't say you don't know what they used it to do. What they used it to do was to bless you.
Yes, sir.
I know what they used it to do. They used it to bless you. Pastor, they gave you live turkey. What do you go do? You want real turkey? No be job, you go job. And please, let me just add something to it. If you are not sure, send me half. I will eat my own first. I've only said this to get it helpful. Not because it's required for the prophets to be effective. It's not required for the prophets to be effective. But if you don't want to eat, I mean, what are men of God for? Do you get my point? Some people say, okay, somebody listening to me, maybe you're planning a wedding. An auntie you don't like now sent you one big white turkey. How do you interpret it? Now, let me interpret it for you. She's trying to make peace.
That's interpretation. Don't read anything to it.
He said, now one Alpha says she should send it.
Alpha is trying to help her too. Let me tell you what Alpha is. You know what they call Alpha? Okay, this is
Is it you I'm talking to? Them? I was about to call it for help. Eh? You know that one? What is it? What is it? Okay, the Muslim cleric. Okay, she knows that one. You know what they call Ajo? You know, is it now?
I know that one.
What? You know that one? You do. What is it? Okay, literally the word means consent. That's what the literal word means. But actually, it's when you bring matter to them, they normally prescribe things. So one of them, because they have a lot of Islamic things, they mix things up, all right? So giving alms is one of the ways they solve problems for people. So they'll prescribe alms. That, okay, go and feed the poor for 1 week. It's in the Bible like that. What did Daniel say to Nebuchadnezzar? It's in the scriptures. You show mercy to the poor. Peradventure, God will lengthen the days of your prosperity. These are spiritual principles. So they use it. Now, where I'm going is that some people don't like that. They feel as if they are transmitting their problems to you. Now, first, nobody can transmit problems to you through foul. Are we agreed on that?
Yes, sir.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Any foul that comes to you, if you can pass through fire, the Bible says it is purified through what?
Fire.
By fire. Just don't eat it raw. If it passes through fire, it is good. But let me explain something to you. That they are not trying to afflict you. But even if they were trying to, it doesn't matter, okay? But just for you to understand, that's how they do. A lot of beggars thrive on that. They know. They sit down there, they are waiting for it. Yeah, they know big man will soon get a problem. No, I'm not kidding. They know. It's not everybody that goes to see a beggar that's out of kindness of heart. Many of them is a prescription. They'll tell them you pray this number of times, then you go and share gifts to the needy. But where I'm going is I see, even if they come and give you things under those circumstances, there's no need to be afraid. Some people are still feeling that, okay, you had stomach problem, ulcer, okay? It began sometime last year after a neighbor shared food. That day, something said you shouldn't eat it too. It is that thing that's worrying your stomach. That thing that said you shouldn't eat it is why you are now sick. It's not the food. It's the thing. They say, eh? You want to eat it? Hey. You know that woman has been sick. Her husband is not supposed to share food around. If you eat it, brethren, I'm telling you, eat it. It is that thing that said you shouldn't eat it that's worrying you. It is not that one. It's not them. People will now come, pastor. You know, they are going to come to you now. You know, pastor, my stomach has been... That was August last year. What happened was our neighbor, one day he just cooked and he was giving it around. And something said I shouldn't eat it though. Tell them, there is that thing that said you shouldn't eat it that's now worrying you. It's not the food. I've gone to preach before. People told me that my problem is that I don't know spirits, the African ones. And I said, you that know, how has it helped you? Me that I don't know, the troublemakers, they leave me alone. Because they know my not knowing is dangerous. I've told you, darkness is not the absence of light. Are you getting my point? So, where I'm going is that, if you think I don't know, it is because I know something that is no, I'm looking for my own manufactured English, that is more knowing. So now it looks like I don't know. If I'm walking where there are many cockroaches, if there's something is there, and I say and I keep walking, you know why I know and I'm still walking? You think I don't know, it's because they are what? Cockroaches. And they don't bite. And if you step on them, all you hear is what? Or maybe I have an insecticide. And I'm doing like this. So it really happened. I went to preach somewhere. They were not, I finished preaching. They were now going home. Ladies. And they said, this pastor, they don't know. A lot of them didn't know me. This pastor, he doesn't know African witches. He doesn't know these African demons. So one of them, next day, now came and met me. Said, pastor, please, I just want to tell you something. I said, what is it? He said, when we were going yesterday, my friend said, you are talking like because you don't know African
witches. I said, there's no problem. Thank you very much. I now mounted the pulpit in the evening. I said, some of you said, I took on their matter now. Normally I just do like I didn't hear. This time around, I said, I will let you know ahead. I said, some of you say, I don't know African witches. I don't know African demons. I said, you that know, can you sleep the way I sleep? I didn't give them the word of God. I gave them insult. I said, look at you. I said, they say, follow who know road. You did it, they argue with me. I said, you that know, can you sleep? I said, me that I don't know, do you know how I sleep? Staying awake is where the problem is. I'm sure they'll look at themselves and say, who told him? They will not be suspecting that. I think it's this one. Because you are the one we see hanging around him all the time. So some of them will suspect, say, who don't they look this woman? Don't worry, they'll go and fight her later. I don't care. But I told them the truth. Why am I saying this today? Sometimes, see, I think sometimes we forget these things. It crawls into our body. You know, we grew up with them. We grew up with some of these things. And then it's buried deep inside our souls. Let me tell you, sometimes you have to deliberately fight these things. That thing I said earlier is not a joke. Somebody will come and say, it was when our neighbor... Now, please, don't get me wrong. I'm not here analyzing whether people do such things or they don't. That's a secondary issue. Number one, 9 times out of 10, or more than 9 out of 10, when you say such things, nothing like that happened. They really are just going about their lives. You are the one that your mind is not clear. That's one, okay? The second part of it is that sometimes those people who do such things, all right? Yeah, even maybe on prescription, on per se, sort of prescription to solve their problems. But that's, I know a bit about that. They are not trying to transmit the problems to somebody else. They just say, go and do good. So they are just doing good. But most importantly, even if somebody wanted to use that method to transmit things to you, you are too strong for that. That's what I'm saying. So it's not even by a game of chance. It's more like, I'm too strong for that. That's it. How come you are strong? Because you are in Christ. Because Christ is in you. Because your life is hidden with Christ inside God. Because you are seated in heavenly places with Christ, far above principalities and powers. You are seated with Christ far above every name that is named. Why? Because you see, the judge of the heavens and the earth, the judge of the whole earth, says that you are righteous in his sight. I hope you get my point. So who can bring a charge against God's elect? You have to understand that before judgment is passed, before those things work against you, judgment must be passed against you. Do you get my point? Say, let me teach you some spiritual principles. See, if they want, you see people who do incantation, they cast spells and all of that. Fact is that judgment must be passed against whoever it is that they want to afflict. They are nothing more than accusers. They are professional accusers that work with Satan. And the Bible says, who can bring a charge against God's elect? So it doesn't work. It's why Balaam said there is no enchantment against Jacob, because he knows the way enchantments used to work. There is no diviner on this earth that has the power in himself to decide somebody else's destiny. He's only an accuser. He has to petition, he has to go to a court spiritually and petition against the person aggressively. And the person has to be one for whom nobody is interceding. Concerning you, it has been spoken. He ever lives to make intercession for those who draw near to God by him. Let me say something to you. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. Nobody in this life has the power against your destiny as a child of God. The only person that has it, his name is Christ Jesus. If things are not working in your life, go and see him. Don't look at any auntie with suspicion. God will punish you for that one. I'm telling you the truth. He will. Let me tell you. See, there are things you do. I've told you before. That's where you activate things in life. Let me explain what I say. Assume I'm going on the road now. Somebody touched me. And I look at the touch with suspicion. Like, why did this guy touch me? Do you follow my point? Then, Reverend Dami, after 3 days, the guy is not walking again. You understand what I'm saying? And I start thinking of that man that touched me. Let me tell you what happened. God is watching my thoughts. He's the one that switched the guy off. God just carried a locked up. I'm now looking and say, I should have stopped that man. I should have held him. See, those thoughts are changing your location in the realm of the spirit. Those thoughts are relocating you. They are relocating you. The more you think, you say, where was that again? What was he wearing? Do they have CCTV camera? They let me go and check who it is. From that high position that God placed you, you are being picked and dropped to a lower position. It gets to a time. Next time, as apprentice jujuma, you know they are professional. You know, just they learn work. He will touch you and you won't see again. The one that they put on suspension for not doing his work well, will touch you, you have to be beaten wrongly. And then one pastor will now tell you, you need deliverance. I see somebody touched you in the market. You say, yes, Papa. Yes, they touched me. Papa, they touched me. And the man was wearing red. Yes, Papa, Professor Papa. He said, I see they touched you again. They didn't see again. They start believing that man. Paul said, who has bewitched you? Literally, you've been bewitched. What you do not know, your problems began the day you accepted that evil people can touch you and decide your life. Be it unto you, the Lord said, according to your faith. I told you, knowledge is spiritual things. It's not intellectual information. It's power. It's power. That's why I say this. It sounds like as if I'm joking when I say it. Say there are things somebody will say to me, and God says, I'm waiting for you to pray about it. Then your problems will start. There are things for me now, if I were to pray about them, that alone is a sin. Somebody says, you will know who I am. Me that I'm a seventh level holder in this and that and that. I've been to Amok, I've been to Ogbanje, I've been to Ek, I've been to this. I will show you. God is waiting for me to start praying. The day I start that prayer, headache will start. Thank you, I see praying. This headache will turn to migraine. No? It will soon turn to brain tumor. Other people will rise up. They start confessing. He that dwells in the terrible place. And it's very nice. But God says, if you give it a second thought, I destroy you. As you finish threatening me, who you are, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do like this. Boom! That's how you know there's this small baby inside our body. I go. That's what I will do to you. So my friend, get out from there. That's what I will tell you. My friend, you get out. If I do more than that, God will be angry. Other people come and tell me, Pastor, they told me like this. I will give them scripture to quote. I will tell them how to pray. But I will say, oh boy, if I'm the one, I can't pray this prayer. This prayer I'm giving you now. It will be a sin for me to carry this prayer to God. Because God is a banker, so you think he's worthy of praying. You ask the banker, come consider. So, which sin did you commit against me? Not even that man. Because sin against me was not the issue. Because David killed Uriah, you know that? After I committed adultery with Bathsheba, what did he say? He said, against you only have I sinned. So, he won't ask me, who did I offend? He said, banker, what did you do against me that we're having this conversation? Yeah. You come and threaten me? If I give you a second thought, say you are in a court. I know I'm looking for the lost trouble. I will enter the house, eat my food like nothing happened. I won't even tell my wife something happened. Maybe I will just out a month, 2 months, 3 months later. Yeah, I won't even refer to it. I am forbidden. I am forbidden. I won't quote scripture for you. Haba. What I told you is not a joke. I go do you like they do. Talk to the hand. Then get out. One man of God. I don't know why Jesus came to my mind. They arrested him. State security for certain reasons. So they were interrogating him. He didn't answer them because they had nothing to tell anybody. Long ago.
So one of them, the DSS man, got up and said, well, pastor, if you don't want to talk to me, I'm going home to sleep. The man said, go. If you sleep, I'm not called. He said, you can go home. But if you sleep, I'm not called of God. Those kind of things, Nicodemus will come back and say, pastor, you know, now walk with day now. Have a pastor, please. Okay, can I stay here with you? Really? People, we are Christians, though. We are believers in Christ, though. You have to learn how to walk with certain levels of confidence, though. I'm telling you. Don't let all this African superstition, which opens us to demonic oppression. I gave the illustration the other time. One of our brothers is a minister till today. He was our senior in school. He gave a testimony. And you know, coppers go and do stuff, you know, evangelism. Then they tell themselves certain lies. They say, when you finish doing outreach, that demons will come at night. They went to do like a drama outreach. So that you need to pray. All. So after planning drama outreach, people will now pray again against demons. Because they are going to come attacking. I've told some of you that follow certain preachers who will be telling you to get ready for demons. You is to you according to your faith. This is our brother said, they actually told him. NCF people, so they told him. So he looked at them like, it's not necessary. No, you have to get ready for warfare. It is warfare. So they went and did drama. They finished the outreach. So I believe they got results. People gave their lives to Christ. He went to his room and slept. Next fellowship. Everybody came with testimony. They came. Oh, I gave them from Psalm this. I gave them the scripture from Isaiah 54. I said, no weapon fashioned against me. I reminded them from Numbers 23 that he said there's no enchantment against Jacob. But you did not sleep. All this gyration with scripture, you did not sleep. They finally left you in the morning. That was the plan. My brother who did not pray, my brother who didn't pray, who didn't do anything, he slept throughout the night, woke up in the morning to be hearing testimonies. The painful part is that we Christians, if we put that kind of testimony on YouTube, 1 million views, people will now go home. Yeah. Whoa! Hey. Your enemies are not sleeping, you are sleeping. How can you be sleeping? Is the enemy sleeping? No. They are there. They are offering sacrifices against you. It is altar versus altar. Begin to raise your own altar. Sometimes I don't even know how to answer Christians. I'm confused. Like, I don't know. Okay, will you tell them to raise an altar of praise? You know, you're not confused. How do I answer my brethren? Ha. Someone will come. They have offered 7 bulls. How many? Look, what in Balaam offer again? 7 bulls and what? Pastor, you know, nobody offer anything again. So, this man of God, people are not helping me. Where is Pastor okay with? He ain't gonna know the bulls. No, he used to operate where they were using bulls. If they say this one, I hear Yoruba again, I for ask him, he for tell me. Because nobody do sacrifice past people for Western Nigeria. Ah, those guys, they can do sacrifice. Even when they go to church, they go carry small of the thing. Put time for, if you can answer church. They've taught most of the bad things that we learn in Pentecostalism. They didn't teach us how to use sacrifice to fight sacrifice. Today's altar versus altar. What did you bring to sacrifice? Your enemies are going with sacrifice. You came empty-handed and you want to win. Sometimes I don't know how to answer my brother. Just looking like, how am I supposed to answer you? Anyway, 7 bulls and 7 rams, thank you. That is what Balaam sacrificed. Oh, they are sacrificing it against you right now. And you are sleeping. You came to church empty-handed. How do you intend to win? There was one man. He went into the village. When he got there, he realized that at night, things were just scattering. Then God showed him a vision.
And he saw where they were offering sacrifices. And he began to cancel the sacrifices. And he brought his own sacrifice. And then he raised it again. And then he had victory. And we believe such nonsense stories. They are very romantic. You know, they appeal to the, what are you going to do? I've heard all kinds of stories. And I, you know, I'm really confused. I don't even know how to help my brethren. Say, you believe that story? The scripture is quoting for you. Didn't you fully read it? He said Israel was camped like a flock of goats. They were mostly asleep. They were not answering Balaam. They did not even know there was a Balaam. They did not offer anything back to answer Balaam. Balaam offered 7 bulls and 7 rams each time, each altar. Then he will move to another place, offer another 7 bulls and 7 rams. And listen, those were genuine sacrifices. You know how I found out? That's exactly what God told the friends of Job to take to Job to offer for them. Balaam wasn't joking. Those things had worked. He went to different corners, offering and offering. At the end of the day, what was the conclusion? There's no enchantment that works against Jacob. No divination that works against Israel. He said, the Lord has not beheld iniquity in Jacob. And that was where his own key was. He now called Balak. Can we arrange iniquity? Balak said, I know how to now. He said, I get some fine babes. And we get sacrifice. When we get party, we got to party. Go and invite the boys. And all the girls showed up with dressed like harlots. And the men of Israel are looking like this. He said, if you stay here, if they stay here, you can't do anything. Make them come out of the camp. They now walked with the girls to the temples and began to eat foods offered to idols. Now, that's not my gist. My gist is that God came against them. Even then, Balaam still couldn't come against them. Balak still could not come against them. It took God to still come against them. Because God said, no, they are my people. I handle them by myself. If I want to punish them, I can send somebody. But you, on your own, cannot initiate affliction against them. It will not stand. Is this why David said, against you, and you, O Lord, have I sinned? No matter how much Israel sinned, only one person could pass judgment. That's why if any witch threatens you, it's someone like me, like I told you from what I know, God will be angry. Say, okay, Banky, so what are you trying to say? That man has power against you. And that's why he'll be angry. Say, okay, because listen to me, if you're a child of God, only one person holds every bit of your life in his hands. Listen to me, even if you sin, even if you did evil, even if you stole, even if you committed adultery, even if you committed murder, no matter the evil you do, only one person has the right to judge against you. And that's the Heavenly Father. So that is why you don't try to appease any false god, any witch that's threatening. If your neighbor is saying, be juju man, don't worry. You see, like I keep on telling you, he knows what many of us don't know. If you have anybody that's a real occultist, please go and check what I'm telling you. He will try to be nice to you. He will not dare threaten. If you're a genuine believer, you are sitting, and occultist is threatened, just know that he's in kindergarten occultism. The more reason you should not be afraid of him. Because the real barbers, they know where the action is. Because once you approach, if he really sees into the spirit, what he will just try and do is to maybe like now, if he's the landlord, he will give you quick notice that my son from Australia is coming back. He will just say, my son from Australia is coming back. You're like, but sir, you did not say so. I paid it for 2 years now. He said, well, that's why I said, well, can I refund your money and more? If you say no, he'll be begging you. If he did not pay, he would tell you, go. But he won't dare threaten you. He wouldn't dare. Because the angels that keep the people of God, they are not the nice ones. They are different angels. They are those who will come, hey Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou amongst women. They know the key person.
Behold, your auntie, Abi, your cousin, she's 6 months pregnant. Gabriel is a good man. I'm not saying he's not a good guy. He's very good, but he doesn't kill people. God doesn't send him to escort people. Just go and, you know, he's a messenger. Messenger of good news. Behold, I bring you glad tidings. A child has been born. Mm-hmm. But there are some other guys, according to one apostle, said those angels, they use... I'm not the one that said it. He said they high. Let's just put it like that. He said, they are high on the most high. Let's put it like that. Those ones, calm down. That's what you need to tell them. Because they are quick on the sword. They are quick on the sword. One blocked the road and told Balaam, pass here. Let me see. He drew a line and told Balaam, pass. What did he tell Balaam? I will have killed you. One of them, one day, some people annoyed God. They went to threaten. Now, if you want to threaten somebody, say, I will show you. Hey, you don't know the kind of person that I am. Leave it like that, though. Don't refer to his God. You know, one day, now, some of you don't like boxing. Neither do I really like boxing. It's not like sometimes I see the way they fight and all of that. Interesting. It's a sport. Some people say, God is not interested. I say, well, I don't think so. One day, Deontay Wilder yes. Wanted to fight Gypsy King. What's his name? Tyson Fury. They were interviewing them. Deontay said that he's a Benin prince. This Benin, Nigeria. That the gods of Benin, they walk with him. So that day, he opened his eyes. So he can feel them right now. That they are coming, that they are going to walk into with him into the ring, and he's going to destroy Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury said, if I had any doubt before about winning this bout, this thing you have said now has confirmed to me that I'm winning. He said, there is no chance anywhere that you win this battle. He said you went and invoked the name of Benin gods. When I'm planning to bring the greater one into the ring, he said, how can you win? No, he said it openly. The video is still on YouTube. You can go and look for it. He said, there is no how you will win. He said, because this has now become a spiritual battle. Ah, he said, no, leave that in. And really, that guy must have really conjured his spirits. Because he dropped Tyson Fury like twice. They almost counted him out. But the spirit entered into him and set him on his feet. See. Every time he met down, they fought three times. They had the draw once, if you remember.
Yes.
Yeah, beat him twice. The second time he told him, I'm going to drink your blood. And he wasn't joking. He beat him, he licked his blood. He said, I warned you. Yeah. He said, because I dwell in the light, no child of darkness will beat me. This is boxing, though. He took another Christian to beat him. Yeah, the only person that ever beat him is this guy. Usyk. Usyk too, is how they speak in tongues to box. So God looked at the two of them. No, God looked at the two of them. Said, how do I do these people now? One went Kabola, Shobaya, the other guy says, Puka Yaba Yaba. What do I now do? He took Usyk to beat that guy. And if you go and hear his story, when I read the story, I said, my God. His father became a Christian, I think, in prison. When the Tyson was born, they said he was going to die. And his father told them that he will not die, he will live. He's going to be a giant. He's going to be almost 7 feet tall. And he's going to be a world champion. He said it when he was a little baby that was sickly. He said, this is what the Lord told him. One night, he said he called his father when he was in prison. His own child was sick unto death. Father was in jail. J-Lo. I told you, see, if you're a child of God, even if you go to prison, my God sentence you. Now, God. God put that guy in prison. One day, this boxer called his father. By that time, of course, he was a big man. He was now an adult. He's almost 7 feet tall. Like his father had prophesied. So he called his father and said, the doctor said, this is my son, will not live till morning. He said, don't worry. He went to pray. He called him and said, don't worry, he'll be fine. He got on his knees in his cell and prayed until that little baby woke up in the morning and the boy was fine. When I saw that interview, I remember him saying, he told Deontay, he said, this thing you have said now is what gave me the assurance that I'm winning. If in a normal fight, I would have been just bragging. I'm adding my words now. I would have just been bragging the way boxers bite, brag. He said, but the way you now brought this thing to Benin gods, the guy said his gods are from Benin. That the spirits will come from Benin. This Nigerian Benin for the fight. When he finally won, he said, all praise to God Almighty, to Jesus in the ring. Oh, that's what he does. That's what he does. One woman even passed a comment about it. You know, he recently fought in Saudi. So when he picked this thing, I said, first of all, I want to give the thanks and praise to my Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, Saudi people, you now go here by force. If you won't let us come and preach, we'll bring a boxer. People of God, and then they say, please, that thing I said, bear it in mind. Only God himself can judge the matter of his child. Nobody else. Nobody else. He's not the devil. He's not, they say, the devil, I told you he's an accuser. He can only petition. And that is why we always approach him for mercy. We are approaching for mercy. And when we go to his judgment throne also, we don't bring petitions up for judgment against other people. Anytime he sees us, either for ourselves or for others, it's mercy we are discussing. It's mercy we are discussing. There are people who will sin against you if you know God well, you feel sorry for them. So boy, you bold though. You are very bold. What's your plan for survival? Do you know I'm a child? Do you care? But I keep on saying, everybody must have plans too. You must have plans. What's your plan? See? Tall Reverend. Remember that guy, Witch of King, not worth money? Yes, sir. And I was wondering that you use our money to run to Canada. It's easier for God to freeze you there. Don't you see, if you're in Nigeria now, it takes more energy to freeze your brain. You now use the money we gave you to broadcast. You now use it to jackpot. People, they mad though. I'm just wondering, what's your plan? No, seriously, what is your plan? You want to go abroad and you want God to bless you and your family there and you took church money? I kind of can't wrap my head around it. I know a thief once. He stole a lady's bag. Not like I knew him personally, but I know the lady. And the office where from which he took the bag. He opened the bag. He saw one envelope labeled tight. He went to return it to. I said, this guy's career will move small because he showed fear. God will say, look, I supposed to kill this guy today, but let's just leave him for another 1 week. Because you get my point. The fear of God is—it took money, and someone he went back to the office to go and drop it. That was when they caught him. No, God spared his life. They didn't do him anything. Finally, but I said, God just said, "Oh no, this guy, is he fear me small? Is he fear me small? Stealing is bad, but at least he knew that. Didn't they steal off?" So once I'm able to do some things, I wonder, I say, okay, what's your plan for a long life? What's your plan for, you will fall sick tomorrow. I mean, everybody falls sick once in a while. What's your plan for healing? No, what's your plan for healing? I'm like, okay, you have a headache. How do you make sure it's not a brain tumor? Yeah, no, what's your plan? Because what I normally do is I go and beg God. Do you follow my point? So you, who are you planning to beg? It can't be God, because if it was God, you wouldn't collect the money. He said, his people gathered to preach the gospel, you chop them. That's what I'm telling you, but listen, don't be afraid. Don't be. Don't be. There's no need. Don't let us this African superstition thing. And I'm telling you, God is patient with us a lot of times, but sometimes he just gets tired. Just gets tired. My wife was a friend of hers once at the mall. Somebody came to beg for money. My wife brought money, wanted to give. He said, no, don't give him money. She said, why not? She said,
My wife looked at her and said, look at you. Look at you. I've been begging you, come, let's go and hear the word. You won't follow me. Look at her. You're not even that. No, she was so angry with her daddy. As if, as old as you are. As old as you are. You are still afraid to give a beggar money because they may take your good luck away. No, my wife says, look at you. That day she was so angry with her. She said, I've been telling you, follow me. Let's go and hear the truth that liberates. Those of you that think that somebody can take your money, you give them money, not carry it and use it to remove your destiny. You want to know the truth? That thought is what is removing your destiny. That you have that thought in your brain, in your mind, is killing your destiny on a daily basis. Those of you that have not gone to the village for 3 years because your mother said don't come so that the witches won't see you. Because each year you don't go, I remove 1 year from the length of your life. You know me, I know the joke. Do I look like I'm joking right now? When I say it the way, people say, why? One day I was talking on radio. I talk about if I, one guy called me, he said, you know, all this hell thing, you know. I said, okay. When he hung up, I said, if you don't believe, you will go to hell. I said, okay. No, I said it again. Am I the one that started it? Do I look like Jesus Christ? I know Jesus may have been a black man, but not this black. I mean, I'm not the one that started it. So I was telling the truth. So Pastor Frank, what are you saying? I'm saying, next weekend, go. And go and greet all the village witches. I'll give you a commandment. If you say, next week, don't worry. Just plan. Let me tell you how not to do it. Don't tell your mother. Do you follow my point?
Yes, sir.
Don't tell her. Don't tell. She's the one that's been pushing you, you know, with this poisonous thought. She's the one that's not letting you make spiritual progress because of fear. She's the one. So don't tell her. Reach there first. Surprise her. Knock on the door. Mommy, how far? Wait. Uche, is that you? Is it your voice I'm hearing? It is my voice, oh! Shh, shh, shh. Why are you shooing me? Don't let them hear. They are the ones I need to hear. Mommy, Pastor Banky has warned me that this fear is what will end me quicker. I've told you this how to go. How many times will I say this thing? Did they sell envelope? Go to the bank. Beg a banker. Say, please, I want to withdraw money. I want new notes. Take like 10 envelopes, depending on the number of witches your mother is suspecting. I mean, you have small money. I know you are not, you and Otedola are not in the same club yet, but 100K won't kill you. So put 10,000 in each of the envelopes. Buy material and go to all those homes and knock. And when they offer you garden egg, I command you to eat. You say, Pastor, I don't like garden egg. Me too. It's not only you. There are many people who don't like garden egg. No, actually, me, I like. But let's just assume we're in the same boat. Just take one and rub it on your cloth there and take a bite. Chew it and swallow it loud.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you that your mother's witch. It's your mother that says she's a witch, I mean. Give her one envelope and one wrapper. You know the truth? She will pray for you. And God will hear. Go to the next house. They just roasted small chicken. Say, will you like small chicken? Collect. Bite it. Chew it. Swallow it. Drop another envelope. Then go to your mother's house and sleep there. And next day, go away. And your mother will say, hey, this boy wants to kill me. Say, you will not die. Not yet. I can't bury anybody. It's expensive. Hey, don't tell your mother like that. I'm just trying to say that. Just tell her, you won't die yet. Not mommy, nothing will do you. Because me, I will not die. It is possible you hear after 1 week that one of those women died. Maybe she's actually a witch or just coincidental. But if indeed she was, she will die. She doesn't repent. And God will just be waiting for her to spend the money. That money, and the travel. God will not go. You know those are angels. Oh no, it could just be, they drag sword on the ground. Just the way they spend money.
or to pray prayer that's not sincere. You know, if you wish a child of God evil, evil must come upon you. No, unless there is intercession. If you wish a child of God evil, evil must come upon you. That's how God does it. So they must pray that prayer with sincerity. Say, thank you. Hey, God will bless you. God will say, good. You will live one extra year for that prayer. You will live longer. I've told you how spiritual things work. This is your coming like Nicodemus to see your own mother. Is where the problem is. This one of avoiding the village, Christmas time, is where the problem is. Because God said to Jeremiah, I command you not to be afraid of them. He said, if you are afraid of them, I will have to disgrace you before them. So make sure your face is as strong as I have made it. Say, how are you? Answer, Jesus is taking care of us. Answer it like that. I hear that the city is dangerous. So he said, we are surrounded by the angels of God. He has given his angels charge concerning us. We are fine. That is how Christians live. Dodge is not our portion. We cannot be dodging witches. We shake their hands. Because the greater one lives in us. Because the greater one lives in us. Because the greater one lives inside us. Somebody say it. Because the greater one lives in me. I want you to say me. Say it again. Because the greater one lives inside me. That's the way it is. That is the way it is. I had hit that tangent. I remember. It's whether you remember. Yes, you're following. That we use prayer to establish the will of God. And that God supplies needs different ways. And I took off the time that sometimes he will use people that you don't even know to bring your supplies to you. Remember that woman that chicken will come and lay eggs inside her shed. You know, if not the typical African person that we have not preached the gospel to, he will chop the egg. He will say, Abba me, Eddie. Are you getting my point? This Okuko is an Abba me one. Do you follow my point? But those that have faith, it's a testimony they are giving to their grandchildren. That's why I said the whole thing. It's a testimony they are giving to their grandchildren. And I'm saying to you, please, I want to hear testimonies. Amen. I want to preach and say, somebody said to me last week here, it's somebody, it's sweet. It's sweet. Do you get my point? It's sweet. It's sweet. When I give testimonies, I was talking to one sister and she said this. I like it. No, I told this story. One day, I just preached here about angels. Two or three who came caught me shortly after. Pastor, let me tell you my angel story. One of our brothers said, you know how I got to know Kingdom Word? No, an angel brought me here by hand. Yes. So I was just downstairs. Said, this man just came and said, you, follow me. We had never met. Just say, you, follow me. There was a way he commanded him. He said, I said, follow him. And we climbed the steps, got to that our former place. Walked down and then told me to sit down. And I sat down and I heard you teach. He didn't know who I was. He didn't know I was there. See, at the end, the man came, bought a CD and gave to him. See, I never saw him again. And he has been coming every week for many years. I never saw him again. So the day I was preaching about angels, he said, Pastor, that's what happened. What am I doing? I'm provoking faith in you to receive what God wants to give. I'm provoking faith in you to receive that which God wants to give. Amen. God will give you a story of a miracle.
Amen.
He will. Certainly. 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 Certainly.
Amen.
We will walk through the valley of the shadow of death and you will not fear any evil.
Amen.
The other day I heard of a tanker. You know that tanker that exploded? Of course, thoughts come to your mind. It wiped out the whole family. They were in a vehicle traveling. Yeah. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to say is, I now thought about it. I said, wait. Look, in your case, an angel will be a shield and block you away from that fire.
Amen.
And you will come and testify.
Amen.
Let's not focus on the negative story. I want to focus on deliverances. On deliverances. Somebody will say to me soon, as the fire approached, I looked and I said, Father. And it was as if a glass wall was built between me and the fire. Built between me and the fire. And I did this. That it just went around. In the minute I died down, I was still standing on the same spot. I saw destruction to my left and to my right. When the tsunami hit in Bandar Aceh in 2003, was it December 2002? That one off the coast of Indonesia, Thailand, all those places. I watched this on CNN. One man, Christian, ran an orphanage. As he saw the tsunami approach, he said, wow. He gathered all, it was near the shore, so he had a boat. He gathered all the children and himself into the boat. He said he raised his hand and he commanded the you know what they call a tsunami? You see a wave coming and it's the height of this building. He said he raised his hand and commanded it. He was on his boat. They were running away. The boat was, but the tsunami moves faster than any boat can travel. So he turned. He said he raised his hand and commanded the wave to go down. Now, the wave no answer. Because when wave is on a mission that God commanded, you just come off a road. So he saw it. He said, Lord, God, you had to deliver. Because the Lord had to deliver them. Suddenly, now I can. He didn't say it like that, but I know it was the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit just told him something. Turn, face the wave. So he told the person driving the boat, turn. Like what I said, turn, face the wave. So that guy put the full throttle and was running towards the wave. The wave was coming. He was going. Next thing, they went high above the wave and landed gently behind. And the wave went behind and killed 250,000 people. Now, see, if you watch this on CBN, that's Christian Broadcast Network, to make sense. You know where I watch it? CNN. He was being interviewed by Christian Amanpour. He said, I trusted the Lord my God and he delivered me. On CNN. He said, I trusted the Lord and he delivered me. Nobody was killed in his boat. So they just went above the wave. And gently, the wave just dropped them nicely and continued on its destructive path. There's deliverance, so. There's deliverance, so. Let me give you the word of the Lord again. No evil shall befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
The Lord will deliver you from all troubles.
Amen.
From six troubles, he will deliver you.
Amen.
From seven, evil will not overcome you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Remember that lady, don't remember the Ebola, that doctor, a young doctor who took care of that Sawyer man in the hospital there in Lagos. She woke up a few days later, she had a fever. She checked her brain. I did everything I was supposed to do now. She doesn't know how that thing touched her. Make a long story short, she had to report to hospital. She had collected Ebola. You know they call Ebola? It kills. So she was in the isolation center. What didn't hit the news until way later was her faith. She was a young married woman and that of her husband. Every day, she had a phone with her. The guys on the phone, every day. Declaring scriptures morning, afternoon, and night. The only thing she went with was a tape player. Playing words, scriptures, morning, afternoon, and night. The white man doctor that was taking care of them, I told them, look, give them drip. This drip is your life. I told them everything they had to do. Whichever way you must take in this fluid. If you can drink, drink. I have drip set on you. There are a number of them, isolation center. How? Her husband, sleep. The guy was on the phone every moment, quoting scriptures. When he's not there talking to her, she's playing messages. That's how she recovered 100%. That's how she recovered. Told of our brother who had Lassa fever. Lassa fever kills. She killed somebody that I know last week here. Not even up to a week. Maybe like 4 days ago. Our brother, I almost mentioned his name now. He was in hospital when they brought messages for him. Just listen to this. And he was hearing the word. They told the nurse, I'm going home on Friday. And the nurse burst into laughter. I know you're a doctor, so you want to convince your colleagues to let you go. Doc, it doesn't work like that. This is an infectious diseases unit. Lassa fever. That is not how it works.
Told the nurse, I'm going home on Friday. This was like Tuesday or so. I'm not very certain which day now. At that time, at that point in time, his blood pressure couldn't be controlled. It was always dropping low. Taking care of him in a specialist hospital. He told the nurse, I'm going home on Friday. How did he get that idea? The word entered into him. His whole back had peeled from because he bled into the skin everywhere. So they were dressing his wounds and everything. On Thursday morning, that same nurse came to dress his wounds and she screamed. He did not even know what happened because he lies on the... Did you get my point? He couldn't see his back. The nurse went to call. Please, oh, people should come and see. I dressed his wound yesterday, it was here. Today I have come, there's no wound again. Not a stranger, somebody I know very well. By Friday morning, the doctors came and said, why should this man sleep here this weekend? Friday, they allowed him to go home. Told the nurse, I told you I'm going home on Friday. I told you I'm going home on Friday. She said, it's not home I'm going now. The nurse looked and said, that the nurse was amazed. To the day I narrowly missed my flight in Abuja. We were in the airport. President was traveling. There was someone that after sitting down for 5 hours, I had to take a walk, my wife and I. We just took a walk. And after sitting down for 5 hours, I said, let me just take a walk. By the time we came back, they said the plane had gone. I said, how can the plane go? I've been waiting here for 6 hours now, at this point. I said, but it's still on the floor. They said, no, they have locked the doors. Please, beg the captain. Explain. Say it's against procedure. Go and talk to the airline manager, whatever, station manager. So I told my wife, wait. I ran down. But as I was leaving, I said a prayer aloud. I said, Lord, you have to get us on that plane. And the Bible says that and disciples heard it. And one FAN woman there heard it. I got the station manager was not there. Then my wife called me, come back. Come back. I said, just come back. So I ran up again. I got there. And I watched as the pilot opened the door, ordered everybody to come down. I was just standing and watching them. That woman's jaw opened. Turned to my wife. Your husband must be a man of God. My wife said, yes. He's going to just to go and preach. God disembarked everybody from the plane. So the pilot wanted to move. He said his instruments were not reading properly. Yeah. You know, of course, because it's a flight, so they are very careful. The guy checked, said this instrument, something is not reading well. One engine just went down. I told him, blame on something. So he said, sorry, he can't take up until they fix it. So everybody to go down. So they all walked back to the departure hall. After 10 minutes, they said, all of us, you can't enter the next plane. This time around, I did front now. So one was grumbling because we had been waiting there for hours. He said, what kind of thing is that? Why did they make us come down? I said, because they needed to carry me. I told her, see, God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
He will solve problems for you in miraculous ways.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, there are people here, doors that everybody was certain had been closed, it will open for you.
Amen.
Look, there are things God will do so that even if you wanted to doubt, you won't know how to doubt it. You will say with boldness, it could only have been God. You will say with confidence, only the Lord could have done this. Say, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion,
yeah,
we're like those who dream. Then our mouths was filled with laughter. And the people said, look at the marvelous thing that God has done for them. He said, indeed, God has done marvelous things for us. And we are glad. Oh, this year you go glad. You go glad, oh. Gladness will fill your home in the name of Jesus. I said, gladness will fill your home. Gladness will fill your home. Gladness will fill your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. There's something that God said to the people. Let me just read that scripture and then maybe we'll just leave it there. No need to keep us for too long. I think, you know, like I said, we keep coming back. So what we wanted to preach today, and the prayer we wanted to pray, we will pray it next time. Where are we running to? Because I was trying to remind us of what prayer is for. Remember what I said prayer is for? Yeah. Prayer is, first of all, is prayer is what? Establishing the will of God. First, in the spiritual part of you, your spirit, your soul. Then, it desires above all things that you prosper. Supplying your needs is not your idea. It was his idea. They wrote Psalm 23 before you were born. Before your father came to life, Psalm 23 had been written. And Jesus bought Psalm 23 with a price for you. I don't have time to start teaching on that. Those prophecies are not free. They were paid for. Yeah. There was nobody worthy to open the book, to take the scroll, and open it. So when Jesus paid, there are so many things he paid for. One of them, to make it effective in your life, he paid. He was rich, but for your sake, he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. That was what he was talking about. So that every promise that God made in the scriptures, they are now yours.
Amen.
Every promise the Lord made in the scriptures, they are now yours.
Amen.
When he said, that's Psalm 91, cram that whole scripture. So when he said, no evil will befall you, and that would any plague come near your dwelling, it is now your portion.
Amen.
Let me just read the scripture. It's something about the heart of God that is pretty concerned about, something that we must give to him. There was one video I saw, some people acted, and it was really nice. Many of us may have seen it. One woman came to, well, of course, when it started, I didn't know it was God. I just saw a man sitting down looking like the lord of a home, that is the baba of a house, with his cap. And this lady sat down, knelt down, complained, tired. How things are not working well. Her child is sick in hospital now. And that her neighbor, she has been looking at that woman with suspicion. And she needed money to pay for blood transfusion for the child. He stayed there. Oh, very nice drama. Others will come. Somebody will just come and say, Father, thank you, Daddy. That work you give me, I finished it all. Is there any other work you'd like me to do? So he said, we should go and clear that land. We have cleared it. Everything is fine now. Thank you. For opportunity to serve, to work for you is good. And the father now said, the land is yours. You can have it. The guy said, And he went away. And the lady said, I've been here since. All I need is 100,000 there. You have not answered me. You've given this one land. And that one will come and say, Baba, the way you've been doing me, I just want to say thank you. You've been so nice to me. Oh, no, this and that. But there's something that came up. I will need this amount of money, please. I know you have, so I feel collect more. First, we'll ask for maybe like, I can't remember the whole drama, maybe ask for 50,000. Baba will just say, okay, just take 500. Ha! The other lady looked like, I've been here since. Let's make a long story short. After that, she got angry and left. There was one guy who came to collect while she was there. They now pursued after her. I said, what is the problem? He said, no, don't talk to me. There's partiality in this house. They like some people, they don't like some people. That kind of talk. So that was not admonishing. That it's not like that. Essentially, all you've been doing is whine and complain and talk and blame everybody else. You have not shown gratitude for what he has done for you. Maybe that thing is about the song. They now started singing one lovely song. She now went back. Of course, repented of whining and grumbling and started giving thanks, praising God. Listen, we are not using praise and thanksgiving to bribe anybody. God is not bribeable. Praise and thanksgiving positions us properly to be able to receive what God wants to do next. Fear will make Peter sink, even though Jesus is looking at you like this. And I'm telling you, grumbling, we deny you of the answers that God has prepared for you. Whatever you need to do, do it. Make sure faith is in your heart. Whatever you need to do, do it. To make sure that faith is in your heart. Because if it is not there, you can be denied your reward. Let's read this. All right, Psalm 50. Please listen to this carefully. You know, God keeps on saying, I am God, and there is no other.
You know why I keep saying that? Because everything tries to pretend like they are God. That's why. When I say everything, I mean things as simple as economy. Some people think that Bola Tinubu is God. So if things don't work well for them, it's his fault. If it works well for them, it's his regime. So that's why God shouts, I am God, there is none else. He keeps shouting it, I am God, there is none else. See, there's nothing that God has not granted that a doctor can successfully do for you. I don't care how good the doctor is. If God has not granted healing, that doctor will tire. Oh, he go operate, he go frustrate. Did that rhyme?
Yes.
It wasn't planned though. It was when I heard it, I just realized this thing is rhymed. I'm telling you. That's what I say all the time, pray first. So does God use doctors to help our faith? He does. So I'm not against it. But I'm just saying, there is nothing they can do if God has not granted. People have gone to hospital before many times. They only sick small like this. Okay, lie down there. Let's just give you this injection. They die. And if a Christian dies like that, don't blame the doctor. Nobody can kill that child of God unless God says, call that guy for me. Let him come home. I want us to understand our lives are so in his hands. So in his hands. See, I don't know about you, but for me, night is the best time to pray. No, not because God only answers night. God, the answer prayer, don't you do? There's 12 noon prayer answering God. There's 9 a.m. prayer answering God. It's the same God. If you can pray at 1 p.m., it does. There's no problem with answering you. You know, personally, I've just found it personal. It's just personal. That issue day, I did go sleep first. It's as if maybe the quietness of the environment also clears my mind. I now see clearly. I don't know why, but my faith is most boosted at that time. I can almost hear God say, okay, all right, done, okay, any other thing? Okay, that's all right. All right, go and sleep. That's how I solve problems. That is how I solve problems. If a problem is not solved, it's because he hasn't granted it or my faith has not been able to receive it. That is where the work is. Let's read this psalm and then we'll go home. Psalm 50, right?
Yes, sir.
Let me see, where do I start? Yeah. Verse 7. Now, please, God is talking to somebody here. All of us do, but listen to it carefully, like he's speaking to you alone. We are reading all the way to verse 15. That's just the word. Say, hear, O my people, I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Now, this is my anger. Look at what he was saying. I'm not complaining about your sacrifices. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices or the burnt offerings you constantly offer. Let me read. I will mix two versions as I'm going on. I do not need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. Why? For every beast of the forest is mine. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Now, if you know what they call a cattle on 1,000 hills, I don't know how many hills were in Mambila when I served. They had 1,000,000 cattle. He said, I know every bird on the mountains and all the animals in the field, they are mine. So, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. When they say, give God something so he can answer you, God said, do I look like I'm hungry? So you provoke God with your sin. God said, I don't need provocation. I'm provoked enough as I am. Yeah. When it comes to answering you, I've been fully provoked. You see what my problem is right now. He said now, this is very interesting to analyze, verse 14. You cannot understand 14 until you read 15. So let's read it together. He said, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. You see where the vow came in. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and then you will honor me. You know what the fight was? They don't call upon him.
That was what he was saying. He said, it's not food I'm asking you for. What is the quarrel? You say you are my children. When last did you have troubles and I'm the one you came to first? That's all this was about. There's wahala. You've called everybody that you know. And listen, and that was what was provoking him. He said, they tell you, say, I define money. I said, who told you? What do you call money? If I want to print that dollar, I will print it for myself. If it's buildings you want to use it to build or buy, I create those buildings. It's not an issue for me. He said, what I don't like is that I have power, I have nobody to use it on. Because the eye of the Lord runs to and fro the whole earth. Why? Looking for how to show himself strong on behalf of the person whose heart is completely his. Somebody should just come and make some demands. God doesn't want prayers that we pray just as a habit. Like now, as Christians now, we just pray. Brethren, pray and expect to be heard. Pray and expect a miracle. Let's bow down heads. Let us pray. Pray, expect to be heard. Pray, expect a miracle. Pray, expect to be heard. I gave a testimony last time that I said, God, I just told my wife, I said, if you lose this number of persons, I said, I pray that God, please, encourage this woman, give her 2 back for each one. She said, I lost 3, I gained 6. That's just last week, she was telling me, last week here. I don't know, I've been telling some of you, say, I need a bigger house. Anytime you say, I need a bigger house, your next discussion is, how is the new Guna so costly? Because see the problem now. I need a bigger house. And the next thing that comes out of your mouth is the price of houses in Enugu. God said, I know you go to church. You give offering. You have given first fruit. You have done that one. Yet, you need a bigger house. Anytime you talk about the house, the next thing that comes out of your mouth is what? The price of houses in Enugu. That is the problem I have, says the Lord. That's the problem I have. Why don't you stop checking for the price of houses and the one that you can pay for? Just kneel down and say, Lord, see, this house is no longer comfortable. I don't have privacy. When I want to sleep, everywhere is crowded. I can't even receive guests again. And you say we should be hospitable. Where will my guests stay? Lord, this house is small. Expand it for me. Just leave it like that. Let's pray like that. See, I learned something long ago that God can change the past. That's when you just discovered that there's one plot of land. Nobody saw it until that day. It's because God just created it and put it there and reinserted into the neighborhood 50 years ago. God said, call upon me in the time of trouble. Don't discuss the problem, or don't discuss the economy and the prices of things. Thus says the Lord, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and those that dwell in them. Then he says to his children, thus says the Lord, ask of me and I will give you the nations as an inheritance. Say, Lord, in the midst of all this world that is yours and the nations as my inheritance, I'm just asking for a 5-bedroom house. One brother gave me his testimony some years ago. So after listening to our message and everything, he told himself he's supposed to relocate back to Nigeria. They say, how could you? How can you? How come? We got everybody advise him otherwise. Said, the word of God is moving me. He moved from the UK back to Nigeria. One of the testimonies he gave me was that he said, sir, you used to say we'll live in houses we did not build. He said, I'm going through that now. I'm living in a house I did not build and I'm not paying rent. What happened? Either his brother or his uncle or somebody just found out, you are an honest person. I have houses here and there. Please stay in this one and help me overlook. So that's the job he does. He lives in a very beautiful house, doesn't pay a dime, because they found him trustworthy to look after the other parts of it. So he said to me, he said, sir, just as you prophesied, now I'm living in a house I did not build, and I'm not paying rent. God can do greater things for somebody listening to me. Today is just the first week of February. God said, don't worry, by December, not only will we have a bigger house, you will own it. Amen. Yeah, and I can do it. Amen. And this funny part, I will do it when you are brokest.
I hope my English is appropriate there, Mama. Even if it is not correct, you know what I'm saying. And it must be right. I will do it in the most difficult time in your life. Say, call upon me in the day of trouble. Say, I will answer you. Hey, then you can honor me. Say, I like your thanksgiving of even things are good or bad, though it's good practice, but I want to hear thanksgiving. Say, Habba, only the Lord could have done that. The Spirit of God wants us to understand. It's time to make a demand. No, pull upon the Lord. Say, Lord, I won't let you go until you bless me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. He said, what do you want me to do for you? That question sounds so ridiculous when people are physically blind and you can see. But it's a very sound reasoning. They are blind doesn't mean they believe he can open their eyes. It may be David, Jesus, Son of David, we have not eaten in 3 days. We'll have told Judas, find them something. They say, we want to see. Say, oh, you believe I can make you see? Say, yes. Then go. It's good. So you are according to your faith. So people are praying. Lord, this landlord, tell them to stop this nonsense now. God says, is that what your problem is? They're just jacking up rent anyhow. God says, what concerns you inside that one now? Why don't you focus on what your own problem is? Because even houses were 10 times this price. I give you any time I want. Your problem is faith. Anytime. Thus says the Lord. Now listen to this carefully. He said, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. You know, because, you know what? Let me read this scripture, please. Now I say we'll close now. We're actually closing. But I need to read this one quickly. It's a story of Abba Hezekiah. It's a very powerful story. Let me see the one that we will use. But let me see the one in Hezekiah and the one in Isaiah. Yes, that's the one I will use. Let's use the one in Isaiah. I want us to see what God is saying. It's what God said to Isaiah and to Hezekiah through Isaiah. It's what I want to bring up. Chapter 37, verse 21. Now, before we won't read the preceding verses, but remember, siege has been built by Sennacherib against Hezekiah and his people, and they have been taunting the Lord. I told you the other time, nobody should taunt God. They have been taunting the Lord. Then Hezekiah went into the temple, remember, to pray. If you read in verse 14. Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And they went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. He said the number of the O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim. You are the God, you alone. All the kingdoms are yours and all of that. He said, truly, O Lord, in verse 18, the kings of Assyria have devastated all the countries and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. He said, because they really are not gods. He said, now, O Lord, verse 20, our God, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. Please, before I even read further, you know I've been telling Christians how to pray. I'm begging you, this is how to pray. There are times you do not know what to ask for as you ought. At that time, go and groan. We need to pay rent. It doesn't need groaning. It's not every time he requires all these theatrics. Most of these are our theatrics. It's just we like to feel good. Why? How would God answer when I didn't sweat? How would I get my own portion of that glory? I have to be able to come to church. Praise God. You know, that time, Pastor Nat declared 200 days fast. So I said to myself, even if I can't do 200, I should be able to do 185. So I went on 185. Then in the 186th day, my spirit said, no, you are owing 15 more days. The testimony, they give you 5 minutes. 4 minutes is the one you did. You get to collect small glory now. God will collect all the glory by himself. I need small too. I have to show I'm spiritual. I know how to pray. That's why we do all these things. Some of these things we do. Read your Bible. When people got answers, their words were few. Because I keep on saying, Christian, you've turned this prayer thing into, let us pray, hold your right leg. Brethren, is it leg problem we brought to the Lord or money matter? What are you holding leg for? Sorry, you know, I have reasoned about this, is brethren. It's not necessary. Hezekiah said, Lord, see the way they have mounted siege around us. They've said they will destroy us because they are a powerful nation. And they will take our gods and wipe his temple away. He said, Lord, indeed. The kings of Assyria have done this regularly. Because those other nations, their gods are false. He said, but Lord, let's do something. Deliver us from his hand and show to them that you are the true God. The main reason why I wanted to read this is verse 21. Then Isaiah, please follow me, whichever Bible you have. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent word to Hezekiah saying, everybody read with me. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me.
Wait.
Did you hear what he said? Because you have paid your tithe.
No, sir.
Because you have fasted.
No, sir.
Because you gave first fruit.
No, sir.
Because you sowed a special seed.
No, sir.
Because you have walked in perfect righteousness all your life.
No, sir.
What did he say?
Because you have prayed to me.
You could have sent to the Egyptians to help. You did not. You could have sent to the Lubim, that's the Libyans of today, to help. You did not. You could have sent to other countries. Babylon was also rising. You didn't. You came to me. That's what we just read from Psalm 50. You know, God has been doing like this all this while. They are just punishing my people. But my people are not coming to me. He said, because you have prayed to me. Continue reading. About Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. Let's stop there because of time. Then he began to issue forth prophecies again. Now, I hope you know that was the end of that kingdom. After people stop bragging against God, the day you raise your voice against God, he will close you down. For time's sake. Therefore, thus says the Lord, verse 33, concerning the king of Assyria, he will not come to this city or shoot an arrow there, and he will not come before it with a shield or throw up a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, by that same he will return. And he will not come to this city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it. For my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Please, I just have to read the next verse and we can go home. Then the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, all these were dead. By the time you wake up in the morning, your problems will be dead.
Amen.
Why? Because you prayed to the Lord. Give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Because you prayed to the Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift up our voices in thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.